John chapter 3, we're just kind of looking at some things that I really want to talk to you about faith, okay? I want to talk to you about faith, and I know it's basic, I know it's simple, but I believe it's profound for us. I believe it's something that we need to go back to. I believe God is calling us back to our faith and just really reestablish ourselves in our faith because we're going to need it. Amen? We're gonna need our faith in these days more than ever, okay? It all boils down to our faith. And some of the prophetic words that have come out have used the words, brace yourself. For the days that are coming, the days that we are in right now, and the immediate days that we're going to be facing in the next few months, the word of the Lord has been, brace yourself. Brace yourself. Now, if that's the urgency of the Spirit speaking to the church, then we need to go back and just establish our faith once again, just to get back to the foundations, okay? Just getting back to the foundations. I'm going to skip this passage because I know we're running out of time. Go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 11 instead. I'm just going to kind of move beyond this right now. But Mark chapter 11, we're going to look at this in two different ways if we have time, or at least the two different passages that they're associated with, okay? But in Luke chapter 11, Mark, Mark chapter 11, I'll get there, okay? I'll get there. Mark chapter 11, we have this account of the fig tree. And it's an interesting account, but the words are powerful that Jesus speaks. So Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 20, let's stand for the reading of the word this morning. It says, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, the first thing he said was what? Have faith in God. Now here they are discussing this fig tree. Why did it wither? You cursed it and it withered. The first thing he said was have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, everybody say believes, in those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Those are some powerful words, but they all stem from the very first statement that Jesus said, have faith in God. Father, would you minister to our hearts these next few minutes as we just look back at our faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible talks about faith, uses the word faith, and the Bible uses the word believe. And we take a look at those things, and they're so closely related, okay? Because the word believe in the Greek comes from the word pistuo. And the definition, when you look at Strong's, for instance, definition, the word pistuo, the word that we use the Greek translated into the word believe, means this. It means to trust, but it has the idea of worthy of trust. How many of you know you won't believe someone unless you feel like they're worthy of trust? They have proven themselves to you maybe. You have seen it in their lives that what they say is true and they're honest people. And so there is a worthiness of trust before you really receive from someone or you believe what they say. If you don't know them, then you take those words, like they say, with some salt and you kind of examine it. And you kind of wait to see if it's true because you don't know the person. But this word pistuo that's translated to believe means to trust, and it has the idea of worthy of trust, okay? So here in Mark chapter 11, when he says have faith in God, this Greek word is pistis. It's the Greek word pistis, and Interesting enough, if you go to Strong's Concordance, it is the very same definition as the definition for believe. It's the very same. It means to trust. It means to have the idea of worthy of trust. Let me ask you, how many of you believe your God is worthy of trust? I mean, that's why we're here, right? Because we believe in our God and we believe he is trustworthy. We believe he is a God that is true to his word. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. God means what he says, and he says what he means. And so when Jesus tells us have faith in God, what he's saying is have trust in your God. Know that your God is worthy of your trust. And so it begins there, folks. It begins right there. And I like it when he talks about it in Mark chapter 11. It's the power that really comes in. Prayer is all about faith. How many of you know that? Prayer is an exercise of your faith. Because you're praying for something that has not yet happened. You're praying for something that needs to happen. You're praying for someone's healing. You're praying for provision. You're praying for something that is not yet. And so when you pray, you must pray in faith. You must pray believing. You must pray trusting. You must pray relying upon him if your prayers are going to be answered. There must be that level of faith. And so in Mark chapter 11, he says, whoever says to this mountain, and I think that's important, okay? He talks about it. He says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes. How many of you believe your God? Do you believe his word? You see, in the days that are coming, the days that we're in right now, we have to know that we believe his word. There has to be a solid foundation in us that we know what he says is true and we believe it. We believe it completely. And so he says we don't doubt, but we believe. And then he says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. So here we have both pistis and pistuo working together. Okay, they're both working together. We are to have faith and we're to exercise our belief. But they come together, folks. Our faith and our belief are two words that are tied to each other. So we have faith, we exercise our belief. So pistuo comes from the word pistis, and both these words come from the root word patho. So when you see it, it's the root word is patho, and out of that root comes the tree of faith and belief. So they come from the same root. They come from the same tree. And so we exercise our faith and we exercise our belief. They're so closely related, they're seemingly interchangeable. They're seemingly interchangeable. So if you have faith in God, you can believe that he'll answer your prayers. Right? So before you pray, how many of you have faith? How many of you pray with your prayers, and while you're praying, you're not sure if God's hearing you or going to answer you? You can't do that. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, won't receive anything from the Lord. And so as we go into prayer, we have to go in having faith so that God will hear us, because we're exercising our faith and our belief. We're putting our trust in him every time we go to him in prayer. Even when you're thanking him for your daily meals, even when you say, thank you, Lord, for the provision of this meal, you pray that in faith. And you trust God that he will continue to meet your needs. So they work together, okay? You have faith in God. You can believe he'll answer your prayers. You'll move mountains. That's what Jesus said. When you exercise your faith and you pray believing, you will move mountains. Or what he's talking about are the insurmountable issues in your life that this mountain symbolizes. This was a Hebrew phraseology, so to speak, that whenever they spoke of mountains in a context like this, they were speaking about problems, issues that are insurmountable, problems that are bigger than you are. And so Jesus used that to express the power of prayer in faith. And the only prayer that has power is the prayer that's prayed in faith. The only life is the life that is lived by faith. The only power in the life comes from the power of faith. And so we have to exercise our faith. It's exercising your faith and your belief in God. Now, Warren Wiersbe gave a little a little caution here. And he said this, that we should not interpret Mark 11:24 to mean if you pray hard enough and really believe that God is obligated to answer your prayer no matter what you ask. God's not obligated to answer any prayer you pray just because you've asked. Okay? So we have to have caution here when we pray. He goes on to say, that kind of faith is not faith in God. Rather, it is nothing but faith in faith. It's faith in faith or faith in feelings. And so it's more than just praying in faith so we can get whatever we want. Okay? Prayer must be within the boundaries of God's character, His nature, His essence, His plans, and His purposes. That type of prayer that falls within the boundaries of God's ability to and potential to answer prayer, we must come into that boundary so that we can have our prayers answered. When we begin to pray prayers that exceed those boundaries, those prayers will not be answered. And no matter how much faith you say you have, those prayers won't get answered because they're not in alignment with His will and purposes or with His character, nature, and essence. Okay? So we have to have that caution. But we are to have faith in God, and it's a genuine faith. Okay? And that's why I say when you look at Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, you see that they have the very same meaning. Basically, faith is trust, confidence, and reliance upon someone or something. That's what it is. For us specifically, faith is trust, confidence, and reliance upon God. And upon Him only. And again, I say, the days we're living in, we're going to have to exercise our faith in God only. Not in anything else. Not in your bank accounts. Not in your possessions. Not in your natural influence or the natural influence of your circles. The only thing that we're going to be able to rely on in the days ahead is our faith in God. And God only. And so that's why we're talking about faith today. It's been in my mind and in my heart for a while now of just getting back to our faith, okay? So here's the deal, folks. When you receive Christ as your Savior, the question is this. Did you put your full trust, your full confidence in Him, and did you fully rely upon Him for your salvation? You see, you got to answer that question. Every person who calls himself a Christian, every person who names the name of Jesus and calls himself a born-again believer must ask themselves this question. Did you put your full trust and your full confidence in Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and did you fully rely upon Him for that salvation? That's an important question, folks. You see, how many of you have insurance for your homes? Hopefully you do, right? You buy a home, you have to have insurance. You have to have something that guarantees you in case something happens, they will cover the damage, okay? So we buy insurance for our homes, but we hope we never have to call on it, right? I mean, if we never have to use it, we're thankful, even though we pay thousands of dollars over the years to have that insurance. But we buy that insurance. Now, if your salvation experience was only insurance against the fires of hell, then maybe you ought to check your salvation, okay? Because I've had people tell me that. When I've talked to them about the Lord, I've had people tell me, oh, I got my insurance. But there's no life change. It's just I prayed that prayer to be saved, but I'm still going to live how I want because I've got my insurance. That's not the way we approach salvation, folks. That's not the way we take salvation, okay? So if your salvation experience was only an insurance against the fires of hell and nothing else, then check out your policy. Check it out, okay? True salvation, folks, is not only being saved from the fires of hell, because it does include that, but it's also coming into a living, powerful relationship with Jesus Christ and with a holy God, and it's a relationship that'll change your life. True salvation, true calling upon Jesus, true faith exercised in God will change your life. How many of you are different now than you were 20 years ago? How many are different now than you were, let's say, 3 years ago? Are you still changing? Are you becoming more and more like Jesus? Okay, salvation is an experience that changes and transforms you. So there must be something in your life that's evidence about your salvation, concerning your salvation, okay? This is more than reciting a prayer. It's more than fire insurance. Okay? It's much more than that. Okay? It's not only being saved from the fires of hell, but it's coming into that relationship. So faith, to have faith is to believe, and to believe is to have faith. Okay? It's not really confusing. It's just the way it is. If you have faith, you believe. And if you believe, you have faith. But it has to be a true faith. It's kind of like train tracks. You have to have two rails or the train wrecks, right? So you have to have faith and belief. And they go together because they come from the same root. And so the train of your spiritual life must be upon the foundation of faith and belief. That's what's keeping you in alignment and in tune with God. Okay? So it's the train tracks. So we can say this, that to increase our faith is to increase our belief in God. If we increase our faith. To decrease our faith, if we decrease our faith in any way, then we're decreasing our belief in Him. You can also say to increase our faith is to increase our trust. The more you know Him, the more you increase in your faith in God, the more you trust Him. The bigger your prayers. How many of you have recognized that the more you know God, the bigger your prayers become? Okay? And they should. Because your God, you know your God more and in greater depth. So an increase in your faith is to increase your trust in God. And the same is true. If you decrease your faith, then you begin to decrease your trust in God. Doubt begins to creep in. Unbelief begins to creep in. And then we have to check ourselves out, okay? So the example would be the parallel passage of the fig tree in Matthew 21. Okay? Again, Jesus was hungry. He sees a fig tree that's growing by the side of the road. He goes and expecting to find fruit, but he finds none. He finds no fruit, so Jesus cursed the tree, and he said, let no fruit grow on you again. That's a fig tree. But he came expecting fruit. And because there was no fruit, evidently it was the season for fruit because he was expecting fruit. But in the season of fruit, he was expecting fruit. He found no fruit. So because he found no fruit, therefore the tree was worthless. So he cursed the tree. And it died. It says immediately the fig tree withered away. So the disciples began to marvel that it died so soon. So Jesus, in a more personal, you know, direct way than Mark's account, he says this. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you, now he's personal. You see, in the other passage we read, it said, whoever. It was a general topic, but here he says, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you, look at somebody and say you. You, okay, will not only do because of faith. You will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, again, the insurmountable issue, the problems that facing, how many of you know as our nation, we're facing some big problems. We're facing big issues. We need to pray. This is seemingly insurmountable. The chaos, the anger, the hatred, the murder, the strife, all that's going on right now. So Jesus says, if you, okay, he says, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Is that the way you pray? Is that the way you pray with full confidence, with assurance that God hears your prayers and will answer your prayers? Okay, this is where we're at, folks. This is the kind of praying we need to get involved in right now. That's why we're having the convocations. That's why Jonathan Kahn is having return. And that's why Dutch Sheets is having his reset or restore. I can't remember which one it is. I think it's reset. That's why on October 30th, we are doing Return 2020. Why? Because we believe if we pray in accordance with God's word, He will hear us. He will hear us. But we have to come to Him. We have to be the ones to approach God. That's why He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, if you will do this, then I will respond. I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive your sin and heal your land. And so we have this obligation to come before God. So this passage was very personal because over and over he talks about you in the first person or in that person towards you. So again, faith and belief are brought together in this passage. So if you have, you will do. If you have faith, you will do. Because the belief is exercised because of the foundation of your faith. Reverend Sean LePage wrote this, and I thought it was pretty interesting. He said, all around the world, people fasten their seatbelts and let a complete stranger take them 32,000 feet into the air. Think about that. How many of you ever flown on an airplane? You've ever taken a commercial airline flight? How many of you knew the pilot? How many of you even saw the pilot? I mean, if you're lucky enough, you might see the pilot, okay? Or you might not see the pilot, but you might hear the pilot when he gets on the intercom, when he gets on the speaker and says, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for flying. But you rarely see him. And yet you will buy the ticket and you will allow a complete stranger to taxi and to take off and lift you in that plane that he has control of up to 32,000 feet, and you don't even think about it. Some people might think about it a little bit, but you really don't think about it. Isn't that amazing? Now, let me ask you, is that faith or belief? Or is it faith and belief? You see, it's faith and belief. You're walking, you bought the ticket in faith. Now you're walking on in belief, okay? And if you're nervous, you say, he's going to get me there, he's going to get me there, he's going to get me there. The plane's not going to crash, the plane's not going to crash. And you start convincing yourself because you want to believe that you're going to get where you're going without any problems. And so we have this faith and belief. I believe it's faith and belief that gets you on that plane. Now, neither faith nor belief are just simply mental assent. They're not just something that you do in your mind and say, I believe, okay? You technically, folks, technically cannot say you have faith in the pilot of that plane or that you believe he and the plane will come back down safely if you never get on board yourself. Technically, you've never exercised faith. There are planes flying and taking off all day long today. There might be a plane right now at this moment leaving the tarmac and ascending into the sky. But because you and I never bought a ticket, because we're not on there, we are not exercising any faith in it. We're not even thinking about it. I mean, the people on the plane are thinking about it, but we're not thinking about it. Because we've not engaged in that flight ourselves. And so that's why I say that you're not exercising your faith if you don't get on the plane. Look at your neighbor and say, get on the plane. What plane are we getting on? We're getting on the plane of the return. We're getting on the plane of a convocation where God is calling people together and people, believers, are being called together to seek God's face on behalf of the nation and on behalf of the church, the body of Christ. It's time to get on the plane. It's time to make your reservation. That's why we have for October 30th, we have the reservation. Get the reservation. Say, I'm going to be there. God is looking for you to exercise your faith. If you just ignore it and say, well, other people will be there, I don't have to get it, then you will not be exercising your faith in God. You will exercise your faith in God when you show up. That's what God is looking for people to show up. And I'm not just saying about the convocation. I'm talking about anything that God wants to do on this earth, anything that he wants to do in the body of Christ. He's looking for his people to show up. Yes. Look at your neighbor and say, show up. Show up. Okay? So you got to get on the plane, right? Look at your neighbor and say, get on the plane. You just have to get on the plane, okay? You see, if you don't get on the plane, it's just theory. If you never get on the plane, it's just theory about planes flying. Okay, it's only what you have observed. You might see the plane flying in the sky and you say, okay, I see a plane flying. But it's not what you have engaged in or experienced yourself. Okay, it's not that same thing. There's an old story, and many of you might remember this, but there's an old story of a tightrope walker that he had a cable strung across Niagara Falls. And many people have done this, folks. In reality, you can look it up. Many people have done this. But there's a man that got up there and he got on the tightrope and he began to go across with his balancing rod and going back and forth and doing things and doing the jump and all kinds of stuff. Then he gets back down to where the crowd is watching. And he gets off and he's saying, "Did you like that?" And they're all, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And then he gets a wheelbarrow. And he gets a wheelbarrow and he looks at the crowd and he says, "Do you believe that I can push this wheelbarrow across this cable?" And one little boy said, "Yes, you can do it." And the man said, "Good, get in." You can say you believe in anything, but until you get in, you've not believed in anything. Now, that's just a story. Let me ask you, if you would have told him, "Yeah, you can do it," and he looked at you and said, "Okay, get in," how many of you would have gotten in? Then you were lying. You lied to the man. You should have said, "I believe you can," with somebody else. But you see, this is what I'm talking about. Our faith and our belief must be active. It's a verb. It's not a noun. It's a verb. It's to have action behind it. If you have faith, it will be active in your life, and you will get in the wheelbarrow. There's a true story about this. His name is Jean Gravelet Blondin, I think is how you pronounced his name. He was known as the Great Blondin, okay? He actually did some incredible feats at Niagara Falls because he was a tightrope walker. He got on and he walked across the tightrope. Then he actually got a bicycle on it and he rode the bicycle across Niagara Falls. Then he actually did push a wheelbarrow. He got a wheelbarrow and he pushed it across. But then he did something else. On August 19th of 1859... he actually carried his manager on his back across the rope, across the cable. He actually did it. It's recorded, not on video, but it's recorded in writing. Okay? How many of you ever been to Niagara Falls? Okay, we've been. You've seen pictures of it if you haven't been there. But if you've been there, it's majestic. If you've been there, you hear the roar. The roar of the water falling over the falls and crashing down below. And then if you're one of them, like we were, you get on the ferry ride, you get on the boat ride, and you put on your raincoat, those little blue raincoats they give you, and they drive you towards the falls. And they turn you in towards the falls, and you're right there listening to the sound of the crashing waves, and you hear the majesty of it. And even the terror of it, just to think if you ever got caught in those falls and you get all wet, but it's majestic. And if you ever saw those falls, then you kind of get an idea of what it means when he says, "Get in the wheelbarrow." God will allow you to come into experiences of life that are so much bigger than you. Think about the disciples. They get in a boat. Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side. I have an agenda." He didn't tell them, but there was a demoniac over on the other side that he was going to minister to. So he said, "Let's get in the boat." They get in the boat. They get halfway out, and an intense storm rose up. So intense that fishermen who were used to the sea were scared. But Jesus is asleep in the boat. What is he doing? He's allowing them to exercise their faith. Jesus is asleep. The storm is raging. They come and they wake him up and say, "Don't you care that we perish?" And Jesus calms and he says, "Why did you doubt?" Why? Because he was wanting them to exercise their faith. And so that's what God is doing with us, folks. He's wanting us to exercise our faith in ways that really bring glory to him. Okay? So let me ask you a question. Did that manager have faith in Blondin, the Great Blondin? Did he believe in him? Okay, he did. He believed in him. Now, you can go. We're going to try to finish this up because we're out of time, but you look at James chapter 2, and James talks about faith, you know, faith and works. He begins to deal with the faith and work issue, okay? What he's really talking about is faith here in this passage are not for, or works are not for your salvation, but they're a result of your salvation. If you have faith, there will be works. If you have faith, there will be actions that are in association with and tied to your works. So works here are the activities or the outcroppings of faith. The outcroppings of faith. Let me close with this. An outcropping, for me, is a good analogy, okay? Because an outcropping is a rock formation. But this outcropping is a formation that begins underneath the surface of the ground of the earth. It lies underneath the surface, but it juts out from the surface. So an outcropping is the foundation rock that is underneath and it juts outwardly, okay? Vocabulary.com says it's a rock formation, a place on the earth where the bedrock underneath shows through and above to the surface. So it's bedrock. Okay? Think about bedrock, okay? Faith is your bedrock that lies underneath the surface. Faith is the bedrock that lies in your heart, that's resident inside of you. That is that which stabilizes you, and it is bedrock, okay? The works here in James is the extension of that faith that is visible. It's the extension of the faith that resides in you that is now visible above ground. So what you see above ground must be tied to what is below ground. What is on the outside of you must be tied to what is inside of you. Your faith on the inside will produce the works on the outside, but they're not just works of themselves. They're works that come from the faith that is resident inside of you. And so he's talking about faith here, and he's saying faith will have works because it's the bedrock. It should be the bedrock of your life. So no bedrock, no outcropping. That could be considered a false sense of salvation. If there is no bedrock, no faith, no works, that can never be acceptable to God. If there's no faith. If there's no bedrock of faith inside of you. Because without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, Hebrews 11:26, it is impossible to please God. And then Romans 14:23, it says, whatever is not of faith is sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Those are some pretty heavy words, but they're crucial for us in the days we're living, folks. It's crucial for us that we examine our faith and we build ourselves up in our most holy faith. We ought to be encouraging one another. Every time we see each other, we ought to be encouraging one another in our faith. We ought to be blessing one another. We ought to be encouraging, exhorting one another in our faith. Keep serving Jesus. Keep following Jesus. Don't give up. Don't let the problems of life mess you up. Keep following Jesus no matter what. So look at your neighbor and say, no matter what. You see, without faith, he says, and whatever is not of faith, these are cautions for every person. These are simply cautions, okay? And the thing about it is, folks, like I said a little bit ago, mental agreement alone is not genuine faith. If it's just mental agreement, because lots of people say they believe in God. Lots of people say they believe in God, but their actions betray them, okay? Their speech betrays them. Everything about their lives betray them. They say they believe in God, but yet there's no evidence. There's no fruit. There's no works that are tied to a real faith. And even if they try to live a good life, even if they try to do good things, okay, by doing good things in their lives, then those good things, folks, are still tied to their sin nature because there's no bedrock of true faith. So no matter what you do outside of faith is not good enough. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 64:6 that all your righteous acts are as filthy rags to God. When they're not connected to faith, when there's no bedrock of faith in your life, then no matter what you do for God is filthy rags to him because everything must come from faith. It must come from faith. Faith in God. Okay? There's a lot of times I witness to someone and I ask them if they're born again. I explain it to them and ask them if they're born again. I've gotten responses like this. Well, I go to church once in a while. Another one told me, well, I try to live a good life. Another one told me I try to help people. And they give me all these works-based things when I ask them if they're born again. But again, God stamps all of these good things as not good enough, as insufficient, and as lacking. Because they're not tied to faith. They're not tied to your faith. So folks, we live in a time where we've got to examine our faith and build ourselves up in our most holy faith. We have got to have faith in God. The things that are coming, the things that I believe could be coming very quickly, are things that will shake And you know how the scriptures say, everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so the things that cannot be shaken will remain. I believe we can be coming into a time of shaking that we've not experienced at this point or up to this point in our nation. We already see it manifesting. We already see the things that are happening. We already see all the rumblings that are going on. You read some of the reports, you read some of the things that are coming out, and they can be scary. That's why we sing songs about not being afraid, fear not. Because things that are coming out right now that can be downright scary. I mean, we're talking, and I just read a report that I was sharing with my wife about how the military, unbeknownst to a lot of people, are right now being engaged and involved in this election and the potential outcome of this election. That there are a group of generals and there are a group of high-ranking officials in our military that are readying themselves to do some things concerning the outcome or potential outcome of the election. They're not good things. But right now it's just talk. Right now it's just potential. But we've got to pray. Whatever happens in the world, folks, the church must rise up. And the church must be awakened. And that's why we have these prayer convocations. We've got to get back to our faith. We've got to examine our faith. And we've got to see what God says about faith. And then live it out and walk it out. Amen? Bow your heads. Examine where you are right now in your faith. It's a simple thing. And many of you already knew all this that I was sharing. Let me just put it this way. I didn't get to it because I knew we didn't have time, but let me just say this. People will be going to hell well informed. There will be a lot of people that will be going to hell, already have gone to hell, and will go to hell well informed. Because they heard the gospel, maybe they sat in church, they heard the preaching of the gospel that maybe they were witness to, and maybe they did all the right things on the outside, but they never exercised true faith. And that's why I say people can go to hell well informed. I mean, you look at it, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, many, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not, did we not, did we not? And Jesus is going to say to them, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. All the things they said they did, all the good things, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out devils, and in your name do many wonderful works. Didn't we do that? And Jesus says, depart from me. He says, I never knew you. Why? Because they were well informed, but they didn't have faith. It's not enough, folks, just to be well informed about Jesus. The question is, do you know him personally? Are you more than well informed? Is it a part of you? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? That's the most important thing that any of us can go to. And you hear me say this over and over. Why do I say this? Because in churches that we pastored before, we've had people come to us who's been in church forever, been in church for years, and yet they come and say, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I have that relationship with Jesus. And we've asked them before, can you explain to me, can you express to me your salvation experience? What was that experience that made it real to you? We've had people tell us, well, I went up and I shook the pastor's hand. Or I was invited to the membership class, so I went to the membership class and became a member of the church. And we asked them, is this the foundation of your salvation? Is this what you call your salvation? And they told us, I think so. I think that's my salvation. But shaking a pastor's hand won't save you. Going to a membership class and joining a church won't save you. Only a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that is life transforming. That is life transforming will save you. So I want to ask you right now, is there anyone here right now that you're just not sure whether you're born again or not? Maybe you've had an experience, but you're not sure. We don't want to be questioning in a time like this. We want to know that we are born again. So if that's you today, if you're not sure, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want to know Jesus. I want to make sure. I want to know that I am saved. I want to know that I'm born again. I don't want there to be a question in my heart or in my life. Is there anyone here? Raise your hand. There must be a confirmation in you by the Holy Spirit. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, the sons of God. Would you stand with me, please? I pray that every one of you have an assurance in your heart that comes from the Holy Spirit, that comes from His Word, that you are truly, truly born again, that you have the bedrock of faith in your life. Father, in Jesus' name, as we close this service, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the faith that saves, that bedrock faith, God, that lies within. We thank you, Father, for the words faith and believe and how, Father, they are connected to one another so closely. And Father, I pray that in the days that we're living in and the times that are just unfolding before us, even now, the things that we're seeing in this world, God, they're all signs of incredible upheaval and turmoil. And Father, there's the fear and the concern, Father, that things are going to get worse. But Father, help us to stand on our faith and not have fear. That we won't allow fear to grip our lives in any way, but Father, we'll put our full faith and trust and confidence in you. That you are our stabilizing factor. You are our firm foundation. That Father, we believe your word. And we trust you, Father, for the things you have promised and the things you have declared in your word for us. So Father, we thank you for the days we're living in. These are exciting days. They're also days of upheaval and chaos and all sorts of things, but Father, you are our God, and that will never change. So Father, we thank you that we have and we can continue to put our faith, our trust, our reliance upon you. Father, I ask you to bless everyone here. I pray those that are watching online, Father, will be blessed as well. That Father, we will just examine our faith and just make that recommitment to you all over again, Father. We want to rededicate ourselves to you. We want to just come before you, God, afresh, believing and trusting you, Father, knowing what you've done for us in Christ. So, Father, I pray you bless every individual, Lord, here and online. And we give you thanks, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Well, the Lord bless you. You have a great day today in Jesus' name.